Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session for investors and analysts only. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. To remove your question, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. The first question comes from Christian Carrese of Intermonte. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for the presentation. I have a few questions. On first of all, on the top line, in particular on net interest income. I was wondering, looking at the growth in of the deposits, plus 18 billion in a year, I was wondering if you are taking into account the possibility to do some charges to offset the negative carry from that growth of deposits. And in terms of loans growth, if you can give us a guidance, we saw on the core loans to customer grew by 5.6% year on year. What do you expect for the full year, in particular the second half of the year? Do you expect an acceleration? And in terms of overall net interest income, looking also to the financial portfolio, you did some disposal in the quarter. I see that the commercial banking is giving a positive contribution to net interest income. So I was wondering if you think that you are planning additional disposal of part of the financial portfolio in the coming quarters, as you did in the first one. And finally, still on net interest income, the just a clarification on the sensitivity you presented in the presentation. I think slide 14, the increase from 100 million to 180 million euro for each 40 basis points interest rate increase. Why this increase quarter on quarter of the sensitivity? The second question is on fees, a very good quarter, 5.4 billion placement of new products. Could you give us an idea of your what you got in your budget, in your mind for the full year, I mean on a quarterly basis? The final, the last two questions, one on Common Equity Tier 1, 85 basis points headwinds. If I'm not mistaken, you talked in the past of a potential 100 basis points headwinds on capital. So just to understand if the first quarter impact is the entire impact for the full year or not. And finally, on M&A, now the CEO of BPER and UniCredit are in place, so I was wondering if you can give us an update and how do you judge the move by the government to improve the rule on DTA in terms of amount and also in terms of postponement to June 2022. Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations for saying that the second question was the fees, because on NII there were many questions, but I will be happy to give you some answers. Yes, on the deposit, we have already launched. Of course, you know that we have done some increase in the current account fees starting from January 2021, which is going to give us a boost of almost 40 million for the full year, which is already the share of which is already in the Q1. Meanwhile, all the measures we have already launched in for to be deployed in the second part of the year will be related to corporate clients. Let me say two things. First of all, we are going to charge fees, growing fees related to the deposit increase to our enterprise and corporates, in order at least to offset the negative impact on NII. Secondly, I also give you some answer about the loans guidance. I think that in the second part of the year, with the possible deployment of the new measure from the government, there will be, and of course also of the next gen plan, there will be some reduction in deposit. Let me say that out of the increase of current account, almost 60% is out of corporate clients. So there is a lot of possibility to see a strong decrease in the second part of the year. If we don't see this decrease, there is already a maneuver which will charge corporates in the second half. Loans, again, just some more evidence. We think that the pace we have done in the Q1 will be basically the pace for the full year, with some change, of course, more state guarantee loans and ordinary business. In Q2, we still have some reserve. I mentioned almost 3 billion to come in state guarantee loans. So we think that we can repeat the performance of Q2, even though the ordinary business is going slow. Meanwhile, I think that in Q3 and Q4, we could experience an increase in the investment of our client, and so in utilizing more credit line. Financial portfolio, we will be very opportunistic. We think we have done a good results up to now. It's possible to have further disposal in the second and third Q, with some more capital gain, of course, but not at the level of what we have in the Q1. And then we will see the situation, how will evolve. NII sensitivity, basically I think a lot of the increase from 100 to 180 comes from the TLTRO. Of course we have a fixed income from the TLTRO, and then of course the loans can be at a variable rates, so this will make an impact of such a difference. Fees is very much above our expectation. As I mentioned in the slide related to the fees, we had an average of 3 something billion in 2020, but the same basically was also in 2019. Meanwhile, we are expecting almost 4 billion for each quarter this year. So we are over performing also our expectation. And of course, we all, again, April and May are doing very well, and hopefully we can do better than our expectation. 85 basis point, yes, there is some more tenths of basis point possibly coming from the update of the hysterical series by the year end, as well as the look-through application, which could bring all in all 20 to 25 basis point. Last but not least, government measure. Of course, we are happy of the extension of the moratoria. We think that is good for our clients. We think we can start talking, continue to talk with them in order to understand their needs. And with six months more, we can be able to adjust the majority of the client which yet have to start their activity. We know that there are a lot of activity like tourism, like transportation, like restaurant, retail, which have up and down, but we basically never started continuously to reopen. Having six more months up to the end of 2021, I think give them the possibility to recover and to be able to repay the loans.
Actually,
in terms of the 6 months more, also for the DTA, we are happy also for that, of course, because give us some more room to continue our our opportunity to find a good deal, a good merger for our bank. Meanwhile, frankly speaking, we still have to understand exactly what means the increase from 2% to 3%, and also the 3 years time lag to complete the potential merger. This is something that we hope we will see the final version. We will understand better how that can impact on us. Basically, I don't see any impact direct on some potential transaction, but maybe we'll have some impact on other transactions. So let's wait and see.
Thank you.
The next question is from Giovanni Razzoli of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Two questions. The first one, can you share with us if there is any accrual of the dividend in your CET1 ratio? And the second one is on the full year 2021. You were quite clear in saying that you know, the NII should progress quite well in the next few quarters. Fees remain strong also in April and May. In the past quarters, you told us that the cost of risk guidance would have been 70 basis points net of the cost of de-risking. You said today that the cost of de-risk is already included in the Q1. So you are more or less giving us the same guidance of the other banks for the operating performance, but you are not giving us an indication of the net income. We have almost all the moving parts. Can you share with us what is the estimate you have for the bottom line at year-end? Thank you.
So no surprise. You don't want surprise. You just want to know everything up front. It's quite difficult for us, of course, to be so precise. But I basically gave you all the items as far as revenues are concerned. As far as your first question, yes, we have already accounted 6 basis points for the dividends and the AT1 coupon. Cost of risk, things are moving. Of course, it's difficult to make some forecast when things are moving in terms of measures. We just spoke about the new government measures. Of course, the extension of the moratoria will give us some relief as far as the default rate, because of course we think that the default rate will be very low, likewise last year. So of course in terms of ordinary cost of risk, we can be quite happy. Of course, everything will depend if we will go out definitely from the pandemic period, and so we will be able basically to decide how much to upfront for the potential expiring of the moratorium in 2022. But of course, it's a good news for our balance, for our profit and loss. We gave two guidance, 70 basis point ordinary and up to 40 basis point of extraordinary. We have already split in a different way in the Q1 these two items. Let's hope that we will try to be in this range, and of course with the lower level if things go ahead in a good way, in a good manner like we think are going right now. The fact that also other banks are experiencing a cost of risk and the default rate so low, of course, is encouraging also our projection, and we could end up with a very good results also in terms of profitability if the level of the provision will be on the low side.
So for the time being, shall I take that 70 basis points is confirmed, excluding the disposal that you have already made, right?
Yes. Again, I say that core is now 40. I think that with the moratoria will go more in line with 40 rather than 70 if things go ahead in this way. We hope to stay on the lower side. But again, then will depend on how much we would like to upfront if we see that the moratoria, I mentioned all the talks we are having with our clients. Up to now, the results are very encouraging with the default rate, which is very good, both for the expired moratoria and both for the moratoria to come. Let's check if in the second part of the year we'll have the same result.
Thank you.
The next question is from Jean Neuez of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, I have two questions. The first one is on asset quality, and I noticed in your slide that you said that you had the Stage 2 increase, that they went from 7.2 billion to 9.7 billion Q1Q. And for the banks which have provided this data, they seem to have gone down. Now, yours looks to be more of a reclassification nature. I just wanted to understand the following: do you believe that your classification is now on par with other banks? Because it's hard for us to judge, and essentially my point is trying to understand whether there is more reclass to come, and associated with this in general, also some provisions that could come and could be classified also extraordinary, but it's essentially still enter the budget. And my second question is on net interest income. It seems to me that compared to many other banks in Italy, but also in Europe, your spread is behaving a bit better, not only the loan growth, but the spread itself. And I just wanted to understand whether there is any change in your mix or any segment that you're prioritizing, which explain this, or what do you attribute this difference in spread behavior of your bank versus peers, if you know that? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Neuez. Stage 2. No, basically, we were quite confident also, and we spoke, I remember, about being on the low part of the banking system as far as Stage 2 was concerned. And frankly speaking, I think also our default rate was confirming our forecast. But as you know, there is a sort of level playing field for which we are called every time to be more in line with the average. And so we decide also, due to the COVID situation, the potential deterioration on some asset, to not to detect more Stage 2 asset, because this is not the case, but to enlarge the category of loans going automatically into Stage 2. So we have make this effort. We had the opportunity to do that also for the good provisioning, for the good cost of risk we have experienced. And now I think we are exactly in line with the average of the banking system. Let's consider that we are very, very peculiar vis-à-vis other banks, because we are a north of Italy banks, which default rate and Stage 2, which of course are influenced by the geographic footprint of our bank. For the second consideration, thank you, first of all, for saying that we are doing better. Let me say that in this difficult time, I think pay a lot two things. First of all, to be very close to all our clients, in particular to SME. Of course, SME are the ones who are more worried about the situation. We are an aggregation of regional local banks with very deep insight into our client and with very good relation. We were very able to give them quick response. Of course, the size counts. I think if you compare to big banks, maybe they are more exposed to large clients. And so both the SME segment and the quickness that we had in giving answer and providing loans and granting loans to our client allowed us to emphasize on some better spread.
Okay, so just to be clear, no more reclassification from here. You're fully classified, no more books to review later on in the year.
It's a one-off situation, again, driven by the global pandemic situation and from our willingness to be more in the average of the system.
Okay. Thanks.
The next question is from Noemi Peruch of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good evening, and thank you for taking my questions. I have just three. So the first on NII. Can you share with us the NII attached to the 1.6 billion disposal on a yearly basis? And what's the liquidity currently parked at the ECB? And the next one is on capital. Can you give us some color on the 20-25 basis points headwinds related to look-through approach, if I understood correctly? And does this increase the headwinds to 120 basis points for the year vis-à-vis the 100 basis points previously announced? And my last one is, again, on capital. Can you update on the synthetic securitization you plan to do in the year and the disposal of non-core assets you envisage in your business plan? Thank you.
Banca? Sorry, as I am asking because I didn't understand very well the first one, but let's try to give you a correct answer. The liquidity in ECB is about 16 billion. Was this the question?
Yes, the liquidity parked at the ECB, yes.
Okay. I didn't mention, I think, 120 basis points. I don't remember I mentioned 120. If you stay at what I said about headwind, I said 85 already in and 20-25 still to come by the year end, due again to the update of historical series and the look-through approach. Of course, as you know, it's difficult to make precise forecast about the right basis point. Let me say that having a few tenths basis point for this year, and again, very few basis point also for next year, we are very confident to be able to build up all the capital need that we should have. But in any case, we are well above our threshold. Finally, securitization. Yes. Core asset disposal, we have done, of course, almost 150 million of real estate disposal last year. We still have our plan to reach 1 billion in 3-year times, so we will continue to dispose real estate asset. Of course, we also have some program also with the European Bank in order to continue our securitization program and to reduce our RWA to this respect. Meanwhile, as far as our stakes in strategic stakes, we are not considering disposal.
And if I may just follow up, what's the NII attached to the 1.6 billion NPE disposal? And just to clarify, so the overall expected headwinds, capital headwinds for the year, hovers around 105, 110 bps. Thank you.
Exactly. Sorry, for the first one was? No, but they are bad loans, so what we dispose, so there is no impact on NII. Yes, very limited time value, but of course, no material. We had some effect from the previous disposal, the Django deal, because they were UTP, so they were contributing NII, but this is not the case for bad loans. Thank you.
Excuse me, sir. The next question is from Luigi Pedone of Equita. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Two questions from my side. The first one is on capital clarification. So if you could remind us the regulatory headwinds and tailwinds for the next year, so 2022. And the second one is on NII. And my question is on the what could be the action that banks could do in the next year when the there will be an increase in a decline in the state guarantee loans and there will be a reduction of the benefit of the TLTRO. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Pedone. I think I said before, both for 2021 and for 2022, we expect very limited headwinds in the region of 20-25 basis points. For 2022, basically 20 basis points is our expectation. NII, basically, you know, we have already always had some opportunity from ECB if the situation is going to be at the level we are right now. If we assume that the situation is going to better, we also hope that there will be some recovery together with the enormous effort of the recovery plan and the private capital that we deployed in order to support the public money, that will give us a lot of opportunity to grow. And again, also in the interest rate, if with the sensitivity I mentioned before, you can expect, you can imagine how much relief we could have from a normalization of the Euribor. So basically, if the, because the two things are a bit linked together, so TLTRO is in place until the situation will be normalized, we think that we can basically easily substitute with the normal ordinary growth in loans and in NII, not talking about the lower effect of the current account burden on our NII that will replace completely the TLTRO effect.
Okay, thank you.
Gentlemen, at this time, there are no questions registered.
Okay. So thank you, everybody. Thank you for staying with us, and we will for sure see each other in the next few days to have some further comment on Q1 results. Thank you.